Only if you pay it later, next time.
Okay.
We're not gonna give up less than this.
So nice, a deep idea that everyone has, just a word. One of the ways we are to understand getting ready for Shavuot. What does that mean? What do we want? Many people just want to get through and everything should be good and the food should be happy and no one should have fights. I'm not talking about that level. I'm talking about that we all want that Shavuot should mean something important. And halavai, we should feel that after a Yom Tov comes and a Yom Tov goes, that we're getting somewhere. I think we all feel that way with life after many, 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 many years. But it's good to understand that every Yom Tov has something unique, something that we want. Not the way when we're younger, it's something religious. No. There's some deep human need that Yom Tov is bringing to us. And I think the more we understand it, eventually, the more we can have that experience. I want to share a story. It's a long story, because sometimes stories are the best ways to illustrate a certain idea. We are intelligent people. In other words, we have intelligence. We have seichel. There is a place for seichel. There is a place for midas. There is a place for action. I know that. But we all have a capacity to understand. Everyone understands things differently. And in many areas in life, using our seichel, we know is very important. It's almost part of being human. Almost like we are cheating ourselves if we don't, you know, develop more patience to think better. People are younger, we allow emotions, which are very important, but we allow them sometimes to be the moshel. Sometimes, even it could be they should, but certainly not generally. We have to have both, and there is effort and importance that we give to understanding. However, there is something that's not emotions, it's not seichel, something else that is even more important than seichel. And I want to give a story and share about this, and this is all connected to the holiday, and there's a good idea of how to get there. But before, what's the there, I want to say like this, that one of the first Lubavitch Chabad Balei Tshuva was a Jew by the name of Professor Velvel Green. He was a big yichas by us because he was a very intelligent person, a very famous person, not like today the world celebrity famous, but in the world of science, he was a very impactful person. He was a leader in one of the organs of NASA. And even though his study was practically used for space exploration, but the field of Chachma was a field in which he was considered the leading minds of the era. And it ended up being that he became a Lubavitcher Baal Teshuva, and we had a beard, like he was in all the way, and it turned out to be a very big Kiddush Hashem, and was something that Lubavitch took a lot of pride in. And he, before passing, eventually he made what we call Aliyah. He became a professor in the university in Be'er Sheva. And he wrote a book called Bracha, Shalom U'Bracha, which is the words that were almost always used when he opened up a letter. He had many letters with the Rebbe back and forth. Many of them are printed, but he wanted to write a book in which he writes what he wrote to the Rebbe. And the story why he wrote, just to explain the correspondence, he put the book together. I don't know how many years it took him. He was not rushing. He was not such an older person. He wrote a preface to the book, Hagdama, and he passed away the next day. So it's almost like you can say that this book was very important for his life's mission. And in retrospect, sometimes you say, maybe he shouldn't have written the preface. Okay, that's a good way of thinking of things. But I'm sharing a little bit about Dr. Velvel Green's journey in becoming Frum, and I'm coming to a certain important topic. It's okay. There's a professor called Professor Velvel Green. Some of you might have heard of him. Some of you might have seen him already because, GEM, which is a service that we can all buy a yearly, and we can watch it once a week. They're getting better and better and better, putting things out about the Rebbe, interacting, the Rebbe's opinion on certain topics. He's there a lot. So this is a Jew who grew up. The story begins in 1961. At that time, he's already this big professor. That means he probably grew up in the 40s. And he became, he got his career going. He became a big person in NASA. He lived in Minneapolis, Minnesota. The Rebbe sent Rabbi Moshe Feller to become the Rebbe's emissary in that part of the world. Moshe Feller is a very learned Jew, which is helpful for people. Velvel Green is a chacham. And he was a conservative Jew. Jews then that were not observant had a relationship with religious people, different than today. Today it's already two generations later, and once people went off the way of Dat, especially because of the animosity in Israel, there was a much bigger divide. It wasn't, the people were not Frum, but they understood their uncle was religious, their grandfather was religious. So this guy had a policy, he was very wealthy already, that any rabbi, even if the Orthodox, if they come for money, for a donation, he never would meet with them because they want money. They need help. If they local, $18 in 1961. If they are from overseas, $26 for the participation in the expense. Rabbi Moshe Feller gets sent by the Rebbe to Minneapolis. He knew that you have in a city this great Jew. He was also very involved in the conservative movement. He was a big donor of the local day school. Rabbi Feller believed that one of the first things he has to establish is religious education. That means to make a beginning with the Hebrew school, the after school, like all of the shluchim do, and ultimately his dream was to have a full elementary school that has a good secular studies, but that gives the students good base in not only Jewish knowledge, but to be, run by religious people, so they should be able to grow up as religious Jews. That was his mission. It was a big dream. Very few people were observant. Until today, running a school is a big overhead. It's not simple. Look at all of the schools here in LA. I know they're charging a fortune. I'm not justifying it. And on top of that, they all have big deficits. It's a big undertaking. And that was his intent. But he didn't want a check. He wanted first to get such a person to better appreciate that even though he can be conservative, but at the same time, be supportive of a more traditional, that was his purpose. Now, he reached out to him and his secretary responded, information. You're local, you can come pick up an $18 check, which is a lot of money. Rabbi Feller says, I want to meet with you. To which the secretary responded in the name of the professor, okay, I'll give you a $26 check. And then when he said no, he gave a $36 pledge, which was a lot of money then. And when he said no, Velvel Green says, I became intrigued. I wanted to meet him. Which rabbi? You find me a rabbi that doesn't want to pay. He writes in the book, he thought he'll take the check and then he'll want to meet with him. It's not a contradiction. But here, okay. To make it difficult, that's the meaning of very successful people, is they give you an appointment for 5 months down the road. I want to tell you that there's a good Jewish story of a doctor that came to the States from Europe. And he was able to practice here. It was a big deal. But he came to New York. I think it was Nachmat the Rebbe. He needed an etza how to get into the community. His fear was that no one knows him. Who would go to a doctor that, go into the office and it's empty? So the etza, I don't know who gave him, some big chacham gave him an etza that opened up, advertise. And when people begin to call, only give them appointments in 5 months down the road. Because you're very busy. And it worked out for him. It turned out that it took him five months to get five consultations. But at least when he opened up, and that was his shtick. His shtick was that he always told people, And that the Rebbe once wanted to consult with him, so he tells the Rebbe, come to me in 5 months. The Rebbe says, no, that trick you can't do on me. I gave you that advice. Anyways, he gave him an appointment. Now, Dr. Velvel Green, in order not to waste time on, the whole thing was television then, but television was coming out, and it's a big distraction. Imagine today how everyone is diseased, we're addicted. So what he did with his chavedim for downtime is that he made a book club, and they would get a book. They were all working people, and they would give themselves a month to read the book, and they would meet once a month, and they would speak about the book. And then he was part of him and his wife. This is from God. There wasn't a Jewish book club. Not everyone was Jewish, but there were many Jews in the club. The book that they chose right before he met Rabbi Feller was something very much connected to now. In the month of Sivan, in year 1648, even though the Crusaders went on for many, many, many years, but there were 2 years, 1648 and 1649, we call that Gzeirat Tach V'Tat, in which hundreds of thousands of Jews were murdered, mamish like October 7th. In the whole Ukraine and beyond, this was an organized group of rogue soldiers. Their goal at the end was to go to Israel and to conquer it from the Muslims. But part of that, it was a religious war. They wanted to conquer it because they wanted it to be in the hands of the Christians, of the Catholics. But part of that was to force Jews to convert. And they would go into a city, into a village. Everyone would be given the option, unlike October 7th, to bow to the cross. And if not, everything happened. That means that they raped, they burned, they killed hundreds of thousands of Jews. And this happened over 2 years. It's I don't know how people can survive psychologically. They didn't. All of our craziness is part from that. How do you live in such an environment? There is no safety. And there are books written on it. The phenomena is that not only did the religious Jews not convert, but what you can never explain only by a Jew. See, by Goyim, many Goyim give up their lives for what they believe in. Till today, they have a belief and they give up their lives sometimes. Right? The Jihadids are giving up their life, but that's because they believe in it. If someone doesn't believe in it, why would they give up their life? What's unique by a Jew, it's taka crazy, that big communities of Jews that were not frum, and before the Crusaders came there, they all said, we're going to, of course we'll convert, we'll bow down, who cared, bow down to the cross. When it came to that, they couldn't bow down to the cross, they died. And that's throughout the whole Jewish history. It's something that doesn't make sense, is that when a Jew, God forbid, it should never happen again, if a person is put in the corner, this craziness of dying and not converting, the beauty of it and the craziness of it, is no matter what you say you believe in, all Jews are moisen nefesh. So they got a book on this topic. It's an intellectual trying, and they read the book and they met, and they all agreed in the book meeting that they would not give up their lives if such a thing would happen to them. They would, of course, what they did was October 7th. They did to every single village there. And then they began to debate, are there any Jews in the world today that are those Jews that would give up their lives if that were to happen? That was what they were asking, and it was an open-ended question. No one knew. Do you know a Jew? No. Do you know a Jew? That was the end of the conversation. He says, within a week, this Rabbi Feller comes to his office. Now, he was he's a time manager. You can call him a controlling type of person. I don't know how you view a certain personality. Certain people are very careful with their time. Rabbi Feller was very careful and a meeting was 30 minutes. When you walked in, that was his seder. If not, sometimes you can have a meeting and then you can, I thought it will be just a short conversation, and many of us are geschmack. He, part of his good and bad discipline was 30-minute meeting. He walks in over there, he introduces himself, he begins to share with him about this Orthodox concept, Orthodox day school. And Rabbi Dr. Green pushed back against it. He really felt that it's outdated, and all of the value of Judaism we already have in the conservative day school, and that's only the ritualistic part, and even if you want to do it, you don't need another school. They spent a long time back and forth. It was towards the end of the meeting, and Rabbi Feller looks, he's looking out the window because he's sitting behind the window, and he realizes that it's mamish sunset, and he didn't have a mincha. So he stands up and he tells the professor that I forgot that I had a previous important meeting. And he put on his gartel in his office and he davened mincha. I want you to know that the Rebbe shared the story many years later when both of them were in 770. Now, what Rafeller was thinking was, I don't have an option. I'll lose him, I'll win him, I'll get a donation, I gotta daven mincha. Whatever will happen, will happen. Mesiras Nefesh. Dr. Green says, when that happened, he says, I had two opposite emotions. I was outraged at the chutzpah from Tadavin in my office, and I had so much respect to him that I felt it's wrong for me to do anything until when this man finishes. So he was trapped, and he got very angry at him. He felt like, I can't do anything. The guy is praying. When he finished mincha, it was 30 minutes, and he kicked him out of his office. He told him, you're 30 minutes, get out of my office. Unbeknownst to Rabbi Feller, Professor Green picked up the phone, he called up his wife, and with excitement, he says, I just found such a Jew. Wow. That's the Jew. Now, one second, I want to get to something. Over the next few years, he began to interact a lot with the Seichel. His behavior didn't change at all. He kept on living the lifestyle that he had, and he began to learn a lot. At some point, there were certain questions that Rabbi Feller felt better for the Rebbe to answer. So he introduced him to the Rebbe, and that's the beginning of this book, and there are many letters back and forth, beautiful letters. Just to know parenthetically, I know I shared this in public, it's a beautiful story. After over 2 years of learning a lot, him and his wife, what changed his lifestyle, you know, we have this phrase that Rebbe says a lot, that action is king, ha-maisahu ha-ikar, that this guy was going on a trip, and Rabbi Feller, one of the things that he was struggling was that he liked that the Baal Shem Tov emphasizes that God is personal. Because many people believe in God, but it's like my God, Hashgacha Pratis. It's like there's mamash, and God is involved. God is with me if I want, if I'm open to it. God is my God, personal God. So Judaism looked to him very cookie cutter. Everyone has the same, right? It's all the same Shabbos, the same kashrus. And Rabbi Feller was saying, it's something personal. And he says, okay, what does God want from me? And every time Rabbi Feller would tell him to put on tefillin, he says, no, that's for everyone. What does God want from me? He never had the right answer for that question. He went on a trip, and Rabbi Feller suggested to him that since he was going on business class and he was going with the whole entourage and there were many Jews with him, why do you care? Order kosher food. That was the story with the kosher food. And everyone will see you order kosher food. Kiddush, you'll inspire others. So he agreed. That was the first mitzvah he wanted to do, order kosher food. It turned out that they didn't have the kosher food. It happens to us also. You order it and they don't have it. But this guy has a very thick voice. So when he said, I ordered the kosher food, he remembers how everyone was so shocked. And they looked at him. Everyone knew he ordered the kosher food. So when the stewardess came back 5 minutes later and told him that we don't have the kosher food, he was going to say, I don't care. Give me the other. But it was too late. Again, he felt trapped. He was angry. And he was going with a stopover. He stopped in Chicago. And over there were two hot dogs vendors that were selling hot dogs. Good, real juicy trefa hot dogs. There was no cell phones. He went to the phone. He made a collect call to Rabbi Feller, because he was angry at him. And you get a collect call, you get nervous. You ever got, I remember I used to call my parents collect. And he says, listen, I'm in O'Hare Airport, and you convinced me to order kosher food, and they didn't have it, and I'm very angry at you, and I want you to know that I'm getting myself online, and I'm going to go there, and I'm going to order a double hot dog with all of the chazarai, with the sauerkraut, and I want you to know that I'm doing it. Like he wanted to hurt Feller. I want you to know what I'm doing. So Rabbi Feller says, hold on a second. And with the other line, he called up the Rebbe. How smart is he? And he was told to tell him that you keep on asking, what does Judaism mean to you? And now I finally know the answer. That's what Rabbi Feller tells him. That God wants Dr. Velvel Green, that when you are angry and you're hungry and you're tired and you are in line and you have in front of you the most delicious chazer hot dogs, God wants for you not to eat it. And he hung up the phone. The Jew, a bunch of Jews are in it. And he says he got online and he ordered it and he couldn't eat it. And he says from there, he became frum. It's just to know that you can learn and learn and learn and learn and learn and until you do it, the learning is nice, not that, but it doesn't do anything. And once you do it, anyway, so his story is like this, that the Rebbe, certain, they're not even so fundamental, like how old is the universe? So we are in year 5784. So who cares if the Goyim say 15 billion years? It doesn't bother me. Or the Torah doesn't speak about dinosaurs. Who cares if they're like, ooh, the dinosaurs, they prove, they don't prove. It's not one of the 13 principles of faith. You know, there are certain topics that to begin with are not important. Nevertheless, some people are bothered. How can you say this when we know that? So after he's already with the Rebbe for a while, and the Rebbe always emphasized that the earth is in the center of the solar system. The Rebbe says that the world was created over 6 days, and it happened 5, 7, 8, 4, this. So he wrote a very beautiful letter you can read. He writes to the Rebbe how much he respects the Rebbe's wisdom and his religious counsel and his morality and blah, 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 blah. But Obed, the Rebbe's a rabbi, and he says, I'm a scientist. And he had like 10 points to prove how much the Rebbe is wrong. Long proofs. And he told the Rebbe that I would advise you that you stick to being a Rebbe and let the scientist be scientist. That's what he writes to the Rebbe. The Rebbe ignored this letter. What did he think? That the Rebbe was humble. The Rebbe, he knows, the Rebbe accepted. That's normal. You have a conversation. I have questions on you. If you're quiet, moida. You go have to go, if this guy is growing in Yiddishkeit, the end was is that he decided to take his kids and move them to yeshiva. That was the biggest thing that he did, right? For the kids to go to yeshiva. And when he wrote that to the Rebbe, he gets a letter back. And the Rebbe writes to him how meaningful it is for the Rebbe to know that someone like you is integrating Yiddishkeit in your life. And there's nothing more that this reflects in how we raise our kids. And the Rebbe complimented him, and the Rebbe thanked him. Beautiful. The Rebbe signs. Then the Rebbe writes P.S. P.S. in Hebrew is Nun Beis. Concerning that letter that you wrote, he wrote the date. The Rebbe went on every single point that he wrote, and the Rebbe began to debate with him. The Rebbe said, for this what you say this. And the Rebbe had a response to everything. Very long letter, very long P.S. Then the Rebbe writes P.P.S. That if you are going to ask, why did I wait all of these years to respond to your questions? I'll tell you. The Rebbe says that my mission in life is not to win a debate, it's to win a Jew. But I want to, so this, for many people know that, I want to add something that Velvel Green writes. In other words, the Rebbe felt that if he would have given him that response, even if the Rebbe would have won the intellectual ping pong, but it wouldn't have been good for his growth in Yiddishkeit. At that time, the Rebbe respecting him, not intruding into his belief system, not saying, I'm right, the ego, it made him feel closer to the Rebbe, to God, to Yiddishkeit, and it helped him become a Jew, a better practicing Jew. And that's the purpose of the Rebbe. So we all, that's, you know, many times I shared the story, other Chabad rabbis shared the story, that in life, in the wisdom, you don't have to win, don't win the debate. Win the person, be humble. You don't have to look that you're right. And who says to begin with that we're right? B'chlal. Okay. He wrote something very beautiful. He wrote for all that time, he thinks back, all that time, I really thought I was right. Which means I understood that the Rebbe is wrong regarding certain basic things. I never lost my respect to the Rebbe, not because I thought, listen to his words, that in other areas, the Rebbe is kind, the Rebbe is a good leader. No. He writes beautiful words, and that's what I'm trying to get to. Awesome. There is logic, there is seichel. Let me use the words enlightened. There are certain things that we know, not emotionally, not because we feel it, and not because we have the words, the logical words for it. We are so enlightened. It's like when you see something, even if you don't understand what it is, you can't understand it. It can't be that you saw what you saw, but you so know it that you know it's right. And there are certain people that are enlightened. They have access to something that we don't have access to. So he wrote those words. He says that he realized that the Rebbe is plugged into something that is beyond everything that I know. And even though I was convinced that logically I'm right in certain things, even there I always respected the Rebbe's opinion. Because the Rebbe wasn't coming with logic, which he came later with. The Rebbe was coming with a whole different type of knowing that we can call he's enlightened. Most of us don't have enlightenment. We don't have that. But let me tell you, what do we have that's the closest to enlightenment? What would you say?
Neshama.
Okay, give me another word. You're good. What's the closest knowledge that we have that is, it's not smarter than smart. It's a whole different league. Use the word emuna. Emuna, emuna. Like, why did those Jews give their lives when they lived a non-religious life in those years, in 1648? They said they don't believe. Something happened to them that the neshama came out. The neshama came out. The neshama thing. The soul did not want to be disconnected from God by bowing to it. It couldn't. And they knew a truth. Emunah is knowing something even before you have the words to know it. So even though we can't become enlightened, but we hopefully could be better connected in that part in us that has emuna. Another word that we use in Hasidus is tmimus dikait, which means sincerity. Simple sincerity, not sophisticated logic, which at times are needed. The world, the Western world, many times, maybe most times, they look down at a man of faith because they see it as being simple in a negative way. It's not negative. You know, God is one, if you think about it. So the closer you get to God, the more things are simple. They're not multifaceted. Oh, it's not binary, which means two options. There are three options. There's four options. There's eight options. There is a place in the world where, yeah, and there's a place in the world where it's very simple. And that simplicity should not be misunderstood as an ignoramus, a non-sophisticated mind. It's a separate thing. In the mind, in the world of Seichel, simple is not good. Simple is, you don't understand, because the more we understand, the more things are not simple in the world of the mind. We evolve that way. Once we learn how to differentiate this from that, the more we group everything together, the less rational we are. We want to be rational. Right? Irrationality. Since you did this, you'll do that. No, maybe you did this, you won't do that. Bina, separating. Separating is gewaldic in the world of Seichel. It's a different talent. It's a different world, and it's a greater world. Is the world of enlightenment, like a prophet, or emuna, which is the closest we can get. And therefore, what am I getting at? I'm getting at like this, that Pesach is linked to Shavuos in the Torah. We celebrate Pesach, we count 7 weeks, and then we celebrate Shavuos. And in Hasidus, there is a certain way of understanding, ideally, what exactly are we going through right now? Like we said before, what's the goal of Shavuos on this level? Aside of the down-to-earth important goals of having a good yontiv and making it good for the kids and blah, blah, blah. Pesach, according to the Alter Rebbe in this context, is a person celebrating their capacity of understanding. And a person placing understanding in the right place. Wrong place would mean a slave would mean is that we have feelings which have a place. But as a rule, for feelings to be the leader, we become enslaved to the feeling. And our mind and the person's, everyone is smart, but the person's right way of placing their understanding in the right place within them, which is a lot of any discipline, including being frum, right? I feel like eating on Yom Kippur. I should not deny that fact. But there is something in me that at that moment will tell me not to divorce myself, not to defend myself, not to make believe like I'm a tzaddik. I'm not a tzaddik. I want to eat. Yes, I want to eat. But there is a reason why I won't. And that exercise of placing reason when you have to be the ruling voice, that is where freedom comes from. There are times that the leading voice should be your feeling. I'll give you an example. Now that most of us have kids that are old enough that are already married or going to get married, the Rebbe always told people, it's amazing, when it comes to Shidduchim, when it comes to the young people that are dating, always, the Rebbe had a general, then before he went into details, that if there is a question, what should be the ruler? The feeling. That's something that the Rebbe stood by, and we should tell it to our kids. The anguish that some people have, not everyone, some people have an anguish with the dating, who, and they overthink, and they were educated as from a people, you know, moyach shalat al alev, right? Mind over matter, and that's the whole Tanya. Okay. It doesn't mean that that's always the case. That was like the Rebbe would insist, and people would always push back, and he would insist. How do you feel? How does it feel?
He's saying that they should feel.
The Rebbe was not speaking to a scenario where logically this is horrible, but it felt good. The Rebbe wasn't speaking to that. See, everything has to have the right. But when a person in their mind, there's pros, there's cons. That's what everyone would do to the Rebbe. They're right about a shidduch. Well, this is the good things. These are the bad things. A person is in a place where it's not al pi seichel, something that's what we would call, there aren't red flags. But I have questions, al pi seichel. At that time, the Rebbe felt that the way the young people feel towards each other should be the determining factor.
Rabbi, tell me. He said, that I cannot tell you. Not your mother, not your father, not even your Rabbi. You have to, your heart has to tell you.
But your heart. No, my emphasis is about the heart part. So just to make that clear, that it's not that Seichel is always the leader. Freedom versus servitude, a slave, I'm trapped, I'm imprisoned. It takes a lot of discipline. What am I imprisoned to? To my emotions. Why am I imprisoned to my emotions? Because my emotions feel for many things that are not correct. And that's my struggle, right? Let's take it out of a religious context. A person who understands that they should not eat too much sugar, and they love cake. So the enslavement, like when a person couldn't contain themselves, and they had four slices, the bad feeling is, I feel bad with me, like I'm enslaved, versus I did it. Maybe yesterday I failed, maybe tomorrow I'm not perfect, but that's the freedom of Pesach. The freedom of Pesach, the way the Alter Rebbe explains, has to do with a person promoting the right way, not the King of Kings, like I said, sometimes the feeling, Seichel. Where do we go from there? When God gave us the Torah, there wasn't a single piece of information that God told us that we already did not know. We knew Daseres Adibris. We knew it. And there are so many other things in the Torah that we did not know, things that are very important. What did God choose to share with us face to face? Things that we knew, to make it clear that the meaning of Shavuos is not the celebration of information. Torah is never meant to be celebrated primarily for its information, even though there is so much information. There's information on everything. It was, how did we know it? Prior to God giving the Torah, how did we know that you should not murder? We knew it with seichel. We knew it with feeling. It didn't feel right, especially if you are on the receiving end. You're the one getting killed. It doesn't make sense. This one will kill, that one will kill, it'll be chaos. In other words, there was certain truths that were only appreciated with the capacity of feeling and seichel. God gave us the same truths, but we now were able to chop it, to get it, with being enlightened. We knew it in our bones. You know, there's like knowing something from outside of you. Something outside of you convinced you. Even your feelings are not you. You have feelings. You have a mind. Who are you? You. When the you itself knows it, before it needs even to use its seichel and midos. The you, the essence of the person, knew it. Because God is the essence. God spoke it. We heard it from inside. We didn't hear it from the outside. We knew it on a different level. That's Shavuos. And we all need that in our lives. We all want that. We are so impressed, right? Ooh, that person that have Ruach HaKodesh. We're very impressed by it. And like, how did they know that? Wow, they're holy. Yeah, it's to be impressed because it's almost like we're jealous of it. It's a good jealousy. Like, I wish I can know it. If only I would know. If only I would know what I can't know. Why do I have to work so hard? Let me just know. We could get there. So the goal is to get there. Maybe not to be enlightened. We're not tzaddikim. But to get to a whole better level of our emunah. Like, to have such good emunah in the world of emunah. Like Velvel Green said, that even if I don't understand, even if I can't explain it, but I know it from within. I know it in my bones. The emes, the truth. We have to develop that, and we have to get there. Shavuos is the celebration of getting there. And the journey between Pesach and Shavuos, Sfira So'emer, is the way to get there. That's the question. How do I get there? How do I go from just knowing with my mind that it's right, just feeling that it's right, how do I get to knowing it on this essential level? Like, I know it. I know it. Know it. The connection between a parent and a child is essential. How do I get to know other truths? Let's speak. We're Yidden. God, the emes of the Torah, the beauty of Yiddishkeit, the importance of our life. Like, how important our life is, which gives us better self-esteem, which gives us more power to make the right choices, because this is really important. There can be 8 billion people, there can be 80 billion people. It doesn't take away 1 ounce my importance in the right way. Like, that knowing, and knowing it, how do I get to being enlightened over there? Sfira So'emer, which is an amazing. What's Sfira So'emer? Think about it. What are we doing in Sfira So'emer? But what are we doing when we're counting the days? How are we preparing ourselves? So during Sfira So'emer, we go through all of the emotional attributes. The more a person understands one's own being, the more the less I misunderstand myself. And the more I work on the refinement of my character, somehow the closer I will get to be open to this type of enlightenment. And that the Sfira So'emer is in theoretically every day, like today is Yesoid Shebe Yesoid. In other words, we break down human emotional experience into 7 categories. And every category is broken down into more categories. Character refinement. Character refinement is very difficult. It's so much easier to know what's right. We all know that. Knowing what's right is the beginning, but then doing it. It's difficult to do it. Who is opposing me of doing it? Me. Right? So I feel angry. So how can I be kind if right now I'm gripped with anger? So going into it and understanding it, understanding oneself for the purpose of not self-indulgence. Oh, I'm going to go to my therapist to understand myself. Me, me, and me. It's so geschmack. I'm spending another hour with me. No, I want to better myself. I want to get someplace, but there's something within me that's blocking it. Understanding that, working on it. The Torah is telling us that the more I will have derech eretz, which is very difficult, which is good, basic, human character development, derech eretz kodma la Torah, then I will theoretically become enlightened, and even if not, I'll get access to my own emunah better. So this is not about the external behavior. How will I know whether I'm bettering myself? I'll know it from my behavior. Because many people think that they're kind. And I can't believe I did that. I can't believe I said that. That was such a nasty thing to say. That's all of us. Because we delude ourselves to think that we're nice. A nice person would never have said that. So that's the opportunity to see some of me is nice, some of me is nasty. In other words, the proof of my character is in the behavior. But the goal of derech eretz kodma l'toira is not the behavior per se, but it's the self-refinement. And if you ask a person, why do you want to refine yourself so much? One answer will be, is because that's what God wants. That's okay. The Alter Rebbe is showing us that the way to go from being a person who is already able to put one's logic, one's seichel, in the right place, allowing it to have a say and not to be imprisoned to the instincts and to the feelings, that's great, then you're free, but you're not enlightened yet. You don't have real emunah yet. How do I get to emunah? You would think character refinement. So these are the steps. It's Pesach, allowing for our mind to be the sayer as a rule, refining one's character, and the ultimate goal won't even be to understand new things. You're not going to understand, you knew that, but to know it completely different. I think there's nothing more beautiful knowing the same thing, but knowing it completely different. When people say, wow, now I understand. Like nothing changed. There's a beauty to that. When people are younger, you need for things to change. When people get older, naturally things stop changing because the change that's needed is not the outer change. The change that's needed is the inner change. And there is a celebration, a Yom Tov. Now I know it. I knew there's one God, no, but now I know it. You know, the Rabbi Levi Yitzchak of Berdichev, he left his parents' connection to the non-Hasidic movement and he went to the Maggid of Mezritch. Just gonna go with that story. It's a famous story, and his parents were so angry with him. Why did you go there? And when he came back, his father told him, what did you learn there that you didn't know? He says, now I know there is a God. His father went crazy. He says, you went, you dishonored me. You went to Mezritch. Now you know there's a God? He called in a shiksa, some peasant Ukrainian woman. And he asked her, who created all this? She says, well, God. He says, she says God. Yeah, he says, she says that there's a God. He says, I know God. That's the goal. That's Shavuos. To graduate from saying certain truths that we understand, that we can prove, to somehow incorporating it in our bones, to have emunah. And what we have to get at is we have to better our midos. And that goes to us, that goes to our children, and it's such a hard thing. It's so easy for people to blame it on the school, as we all do. My kid was so well behaved when he went to school because of that classmate that he better not be friends with. Some of it is that, but I would say as parents, most of it is on us. As a good rule, all of the negative character traits that we see in our kids, that's me. I'll just never see it in me. I see it in my kid. And that's why it drives me crazy. Because he's revealing the MS that I'm trying so difficult to cover up. I don't want anyone to know.
Rabbi, so knowing is the combination of understanding and feeling, like the heart and the mind, or is it something
different? Knowing is something that the soul is informing you. It's something completely different. And this Velvel Green knew that the Rebbe has that. That's why even though he felt that I'm smarter than him, but he already was moide that the Rebbe is connected to some other type of something. He said that I was mevatel myself to him, even when I thought I'm right. He already saw that there's certain, there is this concept of emuna that he appreciated. And we appreciate that. And when we see a Jew that has emuna, we appreciate, we want it. We want that level of emuna. Sometimes in life you need emuna because sometimes things don't feel right and they don't make sense. That's all the pain. That's why the only way you can live through pain, you'll never have an answer, is to really have emuna. And just saying, I believe, doesn't do anything. We trick ourselves until when you hit 40 or 50, then you can say it and say it and say, you realize just because I'm saying the words, just because I'm thinking the words, it means, mama, it not only, it's a minus, because I'm deluding myself. As long as I think I have emuna, it's like the people that think, I'm happy. Well, maybe, yeah, maybe not. Just because you say the words, it means nothing. I have emuna is something that we have to get to. And derech eretz kodmah l'Torah. All right, guys, I have to go.